And we move on to the deep dive. This is obviously, as the name suggests, a segment where we take a look at a sector, a stock, a trend, anything that we get our hands on, and we unlock the secrets to that, hopefully, see if we can make the most of it. I thought for the first one, extra special, because the guest joining us in studio for this one is Pietri Redling. He's the founder of Herenia Capital, which turns 8 on this day as we record this episode. So congratulations. Hope you like our gift.
I've got a fancy balloon. Ah,
hope you like the gift.
I want to see you take it home on your motorbike. I want pictures.
Yes, no, we need pictures. We'll take pictures before you, or as you get on the bike. We definitely want to see this. But today we're looking at financial stocks, because apparently that's been all the rage. Everybody wants to get a financial stock. Do we want to take the banks from left to right and then kind of look at the other ones afterwards? I'm trying to think of where to start, but really everything's just been rallying, right? So the government of national unity gets announced, and then everybody's like, oh, okay, so this is the way South Africa's moving forward. And suddenly international investors are like, hey,
we're interested.
How are you doing? They weren't interested a week before.
I want to start this. I want to speak first, because I need to preface it. But firstly, just to say, from the lows of 22 April, which was at around 15,700, we're now almost 20,000. I mean, it's been a proper run. And that's the Fini 15 in its entirety. I was bearish banks this year because I'm worried about impairments. Typically, when interest rates start to come down, banks start to struggle. And they'd really, you know, done some knockout
results. Risk of defaults had gone up. A lot of them had give provisions and stuff.
And I was completely and absolutely right until the 1st of June.
Everything was great until we saw something different.
Now I'm wrong.
Look, but I think if I could just add in here, I think being wrong in this case is very good.
No, I'm not.
It's, it's the best time to be wrong, right?
Absolutely. Banks are running, and I mean, again, why they're running. We were speaking in the previous segment, Jimmy. We were talking about the consumer who, let's roll forward a year, is going to have interest rates sent down potentially. Mm. Petrol, if the rand is stronger, looking better. Money out of their two-pot systems. I couldn't remember the fourth one. Lower inflation.
Actually, electricity.
For 100 days or 101 days.
100 days of actual electricity.
That consumer sitting there, sitting a bit prettier. Mm. And our banks are less cheap than they were a little while ago. But I mean,
still mighty cheap. I think what's interesting for me is if you see, and this is maybe not just necessarily the bank specifically, but if you look at what some of the research notes are coming out from, like the HSBCs and the big institutions, right? Everybody's going, So South Africa's super undervalued. We're going overweight.
I remember when JP Morgan did that. Was that last week or this week? I think it was last week.
Yeah.
And they went neutral. They didn't go slightly over. They were just like, nope.
That leads to, and obviously there's a bit of a lagging effect here, but think about how much we've lost in terms of outflows out of the JSE over the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Billions.
You know, massive amounts of money. Let's imagine that, you know, 10% of that wants to be back by December.
Right. When global conditions recover and global markets start to rally, emerging markets will rally too.
Exactly.
And we're already on the momentum of having been... hit rock bottom.
And we're probably the cheapest out of all the emerging markets.
And the most stable.
Because we've been the one that's been sort of with the most negative sentiment.
Yes.
Now, to bring it back to the banking context, it's almost like we know, and we've been saying this for a long time, the banks are the bellwether for the South African economy. Mm. So international investors are more interested in our
banks. Foreigners arrive. They can't go and buy Hulamin or CMH or
they're not interested in the small caps. They want stability,
I suppose. If you remove the jewelers, like the miners, put them completely aside. Move the Naspas, the Processes, the Richemonts, all of those type of stocks. What's left? The banks, couple of retailers.
Price who's run as well.
And there's not that much left for them to buy. That little middle segment of SA Inc. is quite narrow.
But they also take risk in the SA market, right? Everybody comes in and says, yes, we want exposure to South Africa, but we want the safest exposure to South Africa. Banks are the safest exposure because you're not affected by commodities pricing. You're not affected by other things. Definitely one of those things where they're like, oh, no. We like you, but we don't like you enough to take that much risk, you know?
We're not ready to buy, I don't know, pick a small stock, small cap, you know?
Pick and pay.
You were talking about it.
Which I never thought we'd say is a small... You don't think about pick and pay as a small cap stock, you know?
I'm not sure. I mean, pick and pay, we might be doing a disservice. Let me haul up.
I think they were 25, 26 rand. I'll pull it up as well.
Market cap is maybe, 13
are we
billion.
Up to we were at 9 at some point, so we've recovered quite a bit. We're up to 26.60 or so. On the banks, all the banks are now, I mean, Capitec, all-time highs. Discovery, pushed almost 20% last month. The only one that's really lagging behind is Absa. And obviously, they gave us an update recently, which suggested single-digit growth, which wasn't a good update. But would there still be appetite if we're at all-time highs? I mean, Capitec is an expensive bank, and they're not doing a share.
I don't know how to answer the Capitec story. Too many have died trying to be negative Capitec, standing in front of the bus. So it's overvalued. It's XYZ. It's not going to
stop. They've got a brilliant ROE. Their cost to income is sort of maybe low to mid 40s compared to the other banks, low to mid 50s. Their ROE is better than any of them. But that bank's six times price to book. First Rand 2, Absa's 1, Nedbank, Standard Bank 1.4-ish.
It's not as if they're a bad bank. They're an exceptionally well-run bank. And I asked Harry at some point, are you going to do a stock split? Because that's the only logical thing I see here. It's not about undervaluing a company or whatever. It's just purely making the company more accessible. And they're like, yeah, no, we don't need to. We don't have a reason to, you know? It's almost like a NASPRA story where if you want the stock, you'll buy the stock. If you don't want the stock, then
don't buy it.
Yeah. But they perform exceptionally well. And I think I like someone like Discovery as well. I remember when Discovery came down to, I think it was below 120 at about 110 towards 100 Rand. I looked at that. I was like, this is the cheapest thing ever. Yeah. And this was before they rolled out the new lending, the revolving and the home loans and all of
that.
Exactly. When NHI was announced, the thing came right down. And I was like, this is a steal at 110 Rand. Mm. I don't know if it's going to come. I didn't see it coming below 100, honestly. It just didn't make sense. I thought that was very, very negative or very bearish on it. And I was right. I think we didn't even get close to 100. We stopped at 107 Rand. We're now back at 140 Rand. And it was around the time, Simon, you were calling Mr. Price to say you've just exited your Mr. Price. And following that, this thing's now north of 200 as well.
No, so I just entered Mr. Price.
Oh, you're back.
I've been Mr. Price since January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Mm. So what are we getting into banks? Are we not?
Disclaimer, we are in a bank.
Oh, we are in banks. There we go.
The one that we bought was Absa Bank.
Because it's trading at a good price, right? For me, down between 158 or even 155 down to 150. Or even down to 140. I see that as a reasonable kind of number because last month we touched north of 180.
Yeah. So, there was a big fall on the 27th of June. Mm. So that is the day that we...
The trading update.
That's when we bought into it. So we took a double size position that day. We bought and then it fell more and we bought some more. As one does.
It was a horror trading update. And when you compare it to FSR, First Rand, who basically said, yeah, things were better than we thought. But that's what Absa does. Absa always just disappoints. It's their modus operandi. Don't argue with it. So I'm liking banks. I'm not in banks because I was bearish on them. But I'm keeping it simple. I'm just watching that the Satrix Finney. And
are you in asset managers, Simon? Because that's another component of the financial side that was. Coronation. Obviously, the Coronation thing was winning that court case with SARS. That's a 700 million Rand windfall. That's a win in anyone's book, right? But asset managers as well. I mean, just speaking to the likes of Hendrik de Toy at 91, they'd been waiting for those inflows. And Pietri, you said those inflows might want to come in before December, which obviously from an asset management point of view puts a completely different color on things. And you think about someone like Alex Forbes that's sitting on a billion in cash and the stock's trading at, what, 7 Rand?
Well, now, if you take our local institutions have to start chasing stocks and the international institutions start chasing stocks. So I think from the international perspective, that flow might want to come in sort of before the end of the year, right? Mm. Well, I guess there's a lot of stuff also because there's still a US election.
Yeah, that's going to be another
on
thing.
The cards, and that might change the mood completely. But I do think that, you know, some of the cash that we've lost or some of the investment that we've lost locally will want to come back. Mm. I think that the stable government situation is definitely a massive positive.
Simon is saying he doesn't know how long it's going to be stable for, and I think
it's stable for now. Take a look at Coronation, for example. Market goes up 10%, boom, their earnings go up 10%, their dividend goes up 10%. Mm. It's carrying a 2 Rand special dividend from beating SARS. Mm. They can suddenly start perhaps getting some performance fees coming through. I mean, these are quickly. These are alpha stocks to market. So yeah, I mean, so I've got bids in all over the place and I'm just not getting hit, but I'm patient, because you know what's going to happen? Mm. One day, some minister or government official is going to stand up and the whole world's going to be like, oh no, the GNU's dead.
Yes.
And you know what?
GNU's, and markets are going to die for that day.
And if you've looked at a GNU, man, those things just look dead anyway. Like, you look at a GNU sleeping.
I don't even know what a GNU is.
It's an animal. It's an actual animal called a GNU.
Yes.
It's not like we're not referring to our politicians as animals. Those listening to us, there is an actual animal that's called a GNU, and there is also a government of national unity, which just so happens to share the same abbreviation.
GNU is actually a coalition, but let's not get splitty about that. Anyway, the point is that I'm not chasing this because this is a 5-year story. Mm. Yes, there's going to be, I mean, we've seen a massive.
You're going to get retracements.
You know, we've got 20% moves in many of these stocks already. We're going to get retracements. We're going to get panic. We're going to get end of world. And much like Petri, when Absa comes out with a horror update, there's your
That's where you double down. That's where you get in.
Yeah.
What a story. Okay, so we've looked at asset managers. We've looked at banks. Insurers. Do we even... Because that's been... Are we upbeat about insurers?
They're so hard to...
So hard to read. It's one of those things where you're like, the amount of effort it's going to take for me to look into you as an insurer, I'll just go buy something
else.
What
I'm
going to
do? I'm going to cheat. Keith McLachlan, smart oak. He likes momentum. That's all I'm going to say. because insurers are, so they're all cheap. But the other thing, as David Shapiro will constantly remind me, is where are they growing their business? They're stealing from each other.
That's it. So there's no new growth in the insurance sector. It's
just stealing from A to B.
That's the story for the entire financial services sector of South Africa for the last 5 years.
This is completely true. And here's a fun thing. I mean, if we just don't have, I was trying to find out what the load shedding impact is on GDP, and it could be as much as 1.5% or 2% necessarily. Mm. So if our 100 days of no load shedding becomes 400 or 500 with a little bit of stage 2 here and there because
did you say 500 days of no load shedding? Wow, you're ambitious.
No, but with some little bits of stage 2 here and there. But six for relentless.
Oh, all right.
Remember,
all right.
No power for 12 hours a day.
Okay, so stage 1 fine, stage 2 kind
little
of
little bitly that and that
survivable
sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We start hitting that. We've got this weird thing happening. Growth.
It's a concept we've become. It's a concept that is now foreign to us.
You youngins, I'm old enough to remember the early
2000s. There was a time where we had economic growth.
Manuel and Mbeweni, and we were having 5% growth. Manuel had budget surplus. You would stand up and reduce your tax.
5% growth. National Treasury in the budget this year forecasted an average of 1.6 over the next 3 years. And you're talking 5%.
In 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that starts to happen, and then suddenly stuff is happening.
Actually, that raises a very interesting point, is then if we're using that logic to extrapolate, Pietri, that means everything's just going to go up. At some point, everything at least 5, 10% on what we are currently sitting at. Because if markets are moving now and our growth is forecast at barely 0.5%. When the country is actually a functional emerging market country contributing towards global peers or towards global growth, that means more investment, more infrastructure spending. Everything else has that ripple effect. Mm. The same way, as you said, it had the ripple effect in the opposite direction where we came under pressure for the last 4 years. Then financial stocks are still going to rally again.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the top 40 index or the all-share index, whatever it was, hit all-time highs yesterday. And the reality is, if you compare us just the two graphs to each other, the US versus where we are. Mm. The US, we made an all-time high yesterday for the first time
since 2023.
Compare that to the US market.
That's been running.
So here's my big call. If this GNU holds...
The government, not the animal.
If this coalition holds for 5 years,
yes.
My minimum call on top 40 is 150,000, and I reckon, which is only... No, but let's be clear. That's only 15% a year. It's doubling. It's only 15% a year. Minimum is 150. So just go buy the Satrix 40.
To give you an idea of perspective here, over the last 5 years, the S&P 500 is up 84%, and the top 40 is up 41%.
Okay.
So they've doubled our performance. Yeah. And we can essentially from here rally another 40% and then only we've caught up to the rest of the world.
Yes.
That's the level of underperformance that we've had.
To be fair, aside from the government, we've also had 16 years of load shedding, eh?
Yeah.
We're suddenly 100 days out, but we had 16 years of inconsistency. And
let's be fair, we're not out.
We're not out of the woods. We're feeling...
My biggest worry is that as our economy starts to grow, we bump into no electricity.
Yes. Growth, okay, too much growth, got to come down. Okay, we have enough electricity for this much growth, but not this much growth. Mm. That could be an interesting take
on it. That was an interesting stat, actually. It's like South Africa had the lowest emissions you know, we smashed our emissions.
But we did that because we didn't have electricity, not because we worked hard towards that, which was the other electricity conversation we were having a little earlier before Petri joined us, that the demand is actually forecast to go down from what it was. And an energy analyst told me
this. There's a mix of things there. I think also if you look at, for example, talking about asset managers, a lot of them have lost AUM, assets under management, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And I think a reason for that is all of that stuff's gone onto people's roofs. Roofs. How do you say that word? Roofs.
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 Roofs. On top of the house.
The plume. The part that keeps the rain outside.
There we go.
So a lot of that has gone on there as solar panels, inverters, and whatever else. And those, I mean, those setups are bloody expensive.
They are. And now there's a new tariff on there. And apparently,
there was a tax rebate on some of them. And
rebate and tariff.
Net effect zero. But anyway. Whatever.
But people are buying them. People are essentially
as they are with financial stocks.
Investments in order to become energy independent. And I can tell you now, it's maybe not a very nice topic, but the next thing is water.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
We need to list JoJo tanks.
Okay. Individual JoJo tanks with water in them.
Exactly. And those little purification tablets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. That's the next thing, right? And I think what's going to happen is more and more of our companies
will adapt.
We'll have to adapt.
And South Africans as well. Yeah. I think that's the other thing we were talking about, the resilience and all of that, is when we're pushed to the point where you don't have an alternative or you don't have another option but to adapt, the outcome of that adaptation is a really good thing. I mean, it's almost as you're not, because when we adapt, it's not adapting for the now. It's adapting as if this is my new permanent normal, which almost solves the problem. It's not like I'm adapting and then I'll go back in 6 months. Like, no,
how do I completely solve
the problem? Yeah. Which is a good thing for us. That kind of mindset and stuff is good for our companies and it's good for investments in general.
It comes back to the earlier point. Our companies are resilient.
Hey, I'm tired of that word, eh? When people use the word resilient, it almost makes me feel like someone's out there saying, you guys are God's strongest soldiers, and therefore you get the toughest tests. We're tired of that, eh?
Yeah, can we don't want tests.
We don't want that.
Can
we just have a soft life?
Yeah, yeah.
And lower taxes.
And lower taxes. There we go. Petri's on to something. That's another conversation for another day. But I think we are out of time for this one. Thanks so much. Thanks, Petri. Thanks for coming through. Happy birthday again.
Thank you.
We hope you like your birthday present.
Hey, Marina's made it 8 years.